Welcome to the latest episode of Disorderly Vlads. This is Christy.
And this is Brenda.
That was terrible. Today's interview is with a TD sibling, my son Jackson.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Your voice is so low.
Hello.
Do you know what a TD sibling is?
No.
Do we have to pretend you don't know because we had to start over?
Yeah.
I had mentioned before off camera or off interview that when I heard that term TD, that I just had an image of the Miami Dolphins mascot TD, but TD means typically developing. I had just learned that yesterday. I know there's NT, neurotypical, so maybe TD is a new term. Anyway, welcome, Jackson.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
You mean forcing you? Okay, so here's some advice. Speak up, close to the microphone, and just forget I'm your mom, okay? So we're interviewing you because you are someone that, you know, people want to know about. You're a sibling to a person with autism, and that couldn't be easy. But I think I've always prided myself in not trying to speak for you. So here's your chance.
Here's my chance.
Ready? Okay, so first of all, how are you holding up with this lovely pandemic?
I don't know. It's like really boring, but kind of eventful at the same time.
Meaning?
We get out a lot, but sometimes when we're cooped up in the house, it kind of sucks, and it's not very fun, and it's just boring.
Yeah.
Kind of lame.
Yeah, a very typical response of everyone. Boredom, right? How about school? What do you think about having to do school online?
School sucks.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it for you.
Yeah.
I do. It really ties you down a lot, but the end is near, right?
The end is near.
So, good to know. Okay, Jackson.
Okay, Jackson.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you're into, that kind of stuff.
Who am I? Wait, what?
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm a sibling of a person with things. I don't know.
Okay, well, leave that out of it. Just if someone just said, like, hey, who are you? Like, what are you all about?
I like sports.
Cool.
And I like getting out. And I also like video games and stuff.
Yeah, video games. What sport do you normally play?
Baseball.
And you can't play it right now?
Yeah, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, you're pretty good at baseball.
Pretty good.
It's the way you and Daddy bond. And what activity have you recently started doing with Daddy that kind of substitutes for sports?
Working out.
Yeah, working out. I can't touch your chest right now, right? Because it hurts a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to stretch later. Okay. So, and you're in seventh grade?
Yes.
Seventh grade. You're going to be 13 in a couple of days. So, yeah. Just to get an idea of who you are. Tell me about JR. Whatever comes to your head.
I don't know. It's like, he can be annoying sometimes, but also he can be nice and chill sometimes. It's like sometimes you would want to hang out with him, and then sometimes you would want to be like really far away from him because he's being annoying.
Okay, in what ways is JR annoying?
He can start yelling. He can start hitting people. He can start hitting like objects like walls and lights. Of course, he loves hitting like. What is it?
Yeah, the light switches. I really need to call an electrician.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. So you kind of just started describing him as, like,
someone. A vicious monster.
No. But that was, oh, what is the sound? What is that sound?
Tic-tacs.
Tic-tacs! So FYI, listeners, Jackson likes Tic-Tacs as much as I do, and except for these are Coca-Cola flavored. Yeah. Yum! I've eaten nearly the whole package. So you kind of started describing him as, you know, like, behavior-wise. Who is he, you know, beyond that?
He's a person who likes to stay in his room a lot.
He likes to stay... Yeah, this is true. Especially now. Now is especially hard. I think this time is keeping us in our room. All of us in our room a lot.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, Jackson, would you describe JR as high-functioning or low-functioning? Forget all the politically correct ways to describe him. Just, what do you think?
I think he's pretty high-functioning.
Okay.
Well, kind of like, I would say 75%. If like 100% was really high-functioning and low-functioning was zero,
okay,
then I think he would be like 85, 75.
That's a lot of math for me. And, have you met me?
And the reason why I say that is because he could definitely do a job, or he could definitely, like, complete a task.
Okay.
But when he has those meltdowns, almost nothing is, like, completable
with him. I agree with that. That's a huge hurdle for him and other people like him. He's working a lot on his flexibility.
Yeah, when he starts yelling at people because we're mad, and then he says, you need to be more flexible.
I like when he schools us using his terms that are meant to, you know, help soothe him and help him. He uses it's reverse psychology.
Yeah.
So how do you think it feels to be JR?
There's no way to really find out. I don't really know.
Okay, do you think he knows he has autism?
I always think that. I don't know. I always question that. I don't really know, to be honest.
Okay. You think he's happy?
Well, when he has those breakdowns, I think he's mad. Sometimes he's upset, but most of the time I think he can be happy.
So you mentioned his meltdowns a lot. Do you really think he melts down most of the time?
Yes.
Or really? More than just like his average day?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's just because whenever he has his meltdowns, I remember them and they just last longer. So
I feel like your memory is marred by his meltdowns. Because if you ask me, you know, they suck when they happen, but they're not all the time. But so that's kind of a glimpse into how he affects you. This is about you. Sorry. I just wanted to ask you about, you know, your perceptions of JR. What are some good qualities you think he has?
He's strong.
Strong as an ox.
Well, it's the thing is, whenever he punches me when, like, we're in the car,
back to the violence. We keep going back to the violence. Well, it's not a violent household, just so we know.
Well, just whenever he punches me, he doesn't do anything. So I feel kind of bad, like, if he, like, starts yelling at me and I yell back and he hits me. Because I know if I ever hit him back, then he couldn't, like, hit me back harder.
Yeah, that's called sibling rivalry, and that's going to happen in every family, right? Okay, so he's strong. What else?
He's pretty smart.
He's pretty smart. Once in a while, he'll say something like...
intelligent.
Well, I mean just something that makes you go, that's pretty interesting.
Interesting.
Okay, so he's smart. Anything else?
Let me think.
No pressure. Do you think he loves you?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Is that... do you doubt it, or you don't know because you can't get inside his head?
I think I doubt it.
He loves
you. But the thing is, sometimes he just gets like, sometimes I know he doesn't mean it, but he'll always say like, all the time when he has those meltdowns, he'll always come at me and say, you suck, or say something like, oh, you're not my brother anymore.
Well, you said earlier on that you guys are friends.
Yeah,
so.
But he keeps targeting me. It's always me. It always goes back to me.
You are the little brother.
But I remember one time he, like, dropped his drink, and he's like, damn it, Jackson. And he, like, banged the table, and he, like, hit the wall.
He gets pretty upset. He's a blamer.
Yeah.
He's a blamer. But, well, I know you love him, and this is about you, so thanks for that. Just for some background, Jackson, since you didn't give us the entire full picture of JR, he's your soon-to-be 16-year-old brother, right? He turned 16 in June. He was diagnosed with autism when he was 3, just a few weeks after
I was born.
You were born. You were born. You actually were in my arms. I was holding you when a speech therapist was trying to, in so many words, through data and, you know, checklist.
Nerd stuff.
Tell me that he had autism. And it's a good thing that I'm so blonde, because I really didn't process it, didn't understand it. Because if I did, I may have dropped you on your head.
Nice.
So, anyway, I'm sure you've heard me talk about how hard it is for both me and Daddy to raise a child with special needs. But we really do want to hear from you, we meaning the entire world, but no pressure. And just so you know, this is not a therapy session. I want your honest thoughts. And so far, you've been really good at that. And, you know, in case of family in our shoes, even though we don't wear shoes a lot around here, needs to hear it. They need to hear the raw, uncensored feelings of a kid living in the same house as another person with autism. Are you ready for some more questions?
Yep.
Okay. Are you going to choke on your Tic Tac?
Yeah.
Okay, don't do that. So, what is it like to be Jackson? More than who you are, you know, like what you like to do, but what is your living situation like?
I don't know. I do chores, and I help JR, and I help you guys. So I'm just a helper, I guess.
You're just a helper around here?
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you feel like you're a contributing member of this household in that sense?
I don't like saying it in that word, but yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, yeah. Is it hard?
It depends. Like, when I have to do certain things, like when Jerry's yelling at me and I need him to do something, that's, like, the most difficult job. But if I just had to, like, pick up Jerry's trash because he's leaving it there, it's fine.
Okay, so you don't mind helping out around here as long as JR's not screaming orders at you, which happens.
A lot.
A lot, yeah. Do you think you have a close bond with JR?
Yeah.
You do? That answer surprises me. In what way? Or, like, explain yourself.
Pretty much just as a friend and as a brother as well. He's, like, a really good friend of mine, and yeah.
That's nice. You guys like some of the same things?
Yeah. We both like taking Dorian on a walk. We both like playing football and going in the pool. And
regular show.
Yeah, regular show.
That's one thing this family has to keep it together is...
regular show.
Regular show and jokes and wipe out and just things that we like to laugh about.
Laugh at people who are
similarly. Suffering. Yeah, we don't like to laugh at others suffering. Although it would make us feel better about our situation, wouldn't it? Okay. Tell me about some of the memories that you have growing up with JR. Whether you knew something was going on with him or not. You're the younger brother.
Younger.
Right?
I am.
What are your memories of growing up with him, if any?
I think one of them has to be I've taken those stupid pictures with him where we had to, like, hold hands and be gross and weird. I hated those pictures.
You mean all the posed photography that make us look like a perfect family?
Yeah, those ones are so lame. Like, look, it's right behind you.
Oh, yeah. But that was a nice picture.
That was lame.
That cost a lot of money, too.
Well, it's a big waste of money, then.
Oh. I think the world can agree that those
pictures
posed
are lame.
Pictures are lame, but I get to look back at how cute you used to be, so... You know, it's really all about moms and image and all that.
It's only about moms.
Yeah. But those are pretty terrifying days. Photography sessions are pretty terrifying for me.
Because you start screaming at us.
What? Shh. Listen, I said this was uncensored, but I didn't say reveal my poor parenting. That would be terrible.
That would be terrible.
So I'm going to go back to memories in a little bit. Some statistics that really got me excited. When JR has his little meltdowns, does that embarrass you?
Yes.
In what way?
It's like one of those moments where you can't, like, explain it or anything. It's just, like, knowing that people think, like, oh, who's that weirdo with? And, like, who's watching him is somebody, like, not take care of him or something, then that's just the feeling, like, of embarrassment mm-hmm. in that way.
Those 5 to 7 minutes when we're in a pizza joint.
And whether he starts screaming like a banshee.
Yeah, that's a big word. Banshee. Are you, like, in advanced classes?
Yes.
You
yes,
are. I am. Yes. Why, yes. Yes, I am. Yeah, he does tend to go on a little bit. And that, you know, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Because people are looking, staring, wondering. I think nowadays it's a little bit easier in the sense that, you know, people are aware autism is out there. But it's no fun, you know, to be looked at or stared at. I get that, especially at your age. Do you think you're better off or worse off having JR in your life?
Better off.
Why is that? You're saying all the right things.
Because it made me a better person, I think.
In what way?
Like, I'm much more responsible, and
that's
I
to be debated.
A lot now.
I'm joking. Continue.
Okay. Well, I just feel like having JR and having a lot more responsibilities made me a better person.
I agree with that. As if you really need an improvement. You did not. So you have some pretty good qualities. I could add to that. I think you're pretty resilient. Things slide off of you a little bit easier. At least the appearance of things kind of sliding off of you. I don't know what's going on the inside sometimes, but you bounce back pretty quickly after embarrassing moments or trying moments. So I'm really proud of you for that. What do you want people to know about autism?
It's difficult. And it's difficult, but it's definitely, you can get over it.
So you mean difficult to be in a family when someone has autism?
Yes.
Yeah, it's difficult. So when you say you can get over, does it mean like, you know, if you ignore it, it's better, or you learn coping mechanisms, or, you know, there's plenty of happy memories to mix in with the not so happy memories, and that, you know, balances out? What are your thoughts?
I'm just saying that, like, it's like, if you find a way just to, like, make it bounce off you, it's pretty easy to overcome. Like, what I usually do when Jared has a meltdown is I just ignore it and bounces right off me because I'm not listening to him screaming.
And how about our parenting? How do you think Daddy and I deal with JR? Do you think we've done some things right? Do we do things wrong? Or are we absolutely perfect in every way? No pressure.
I think it needs a little work.
Oh my God. Edit. Reverse. Stop. No, I'm kidding. Okay, how could I improve?
I think you and Dad do this.
Okay.
But it's just like when you guys when you guys engage with him and tell him stop, well, you don't say stop, but when you keep telling him it'll be okay, that's just flat out stupid. You just shouldn't do that. Just let it run.
Okay, so telling him to stop isn't really helpful because...
It's just empowering him.
Okay, it fuels the fire sometimes, right? So anything that we do right?
You ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
You
ignore his junk behaviors, yeah. Right?
Okay. You find alternatives.
Wow, is it all big words?
Yes.
So impressed by you. Alternatives like distractions.
Yeah. Like sometimes when we're in a restaurant, he starts to scream. You find something to take it off of his mind. Like I remember this one time, you told him. Like, we were at a pizza restaurant, and you told him, like, the pizza's coming in, like, 20 minutes. And he didn't have his iPad, so he couldn't look at the time. So it went by, like, an hour, and he went fine.
Got it. That was distracting to him. Okay, cool. What do you think the perception is of autism today? What do people generally think about autism? They think, you know, it's, you know, oh, wow, kids with autism, they're just so bright and so great. And
I think that's what a lot of people think.
Okay. So do you friends at school know you have a brother with autism?
Some of them.
Some of them. Is it because you brought it up or because they asked?
I brought it up.
You brought it up. And what's the general reaction?
Wow, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know any kids from school that have a sibling with autism?
There is one. You know his mom. Remember that kid, James?
Oh, we don't have to name anyone.
You can edit that out.
But no, I don't know that person. Well, we can talk about it after. No, it's okay. But who, what member of his family?
I think it was his brother, his little brother.
Okay. Okay. All right. Sorry that my questions are all over the place. You know, my ADHD.
ADHD.
Gone awry. Look, a squirrel. Oh, wait, no, that's a dog. And a cat. We have a menagerie here at Disorderly Blonde's Enterprises today. More questions. What, if any, what kind of pressure do you feel about JR and how his future affects your future? Do you feel pressure to take care of him?
Yes.
Do you feel pressure? Okay. Do you feel like mom and dad are just going to, like, hand him off to you when...
No. No, I don't think that. But it's just kind of scary.
Okay. It's scary that after mom and dad are gone that, you know, he's there and you're his closest relative and you'll be responsible in some way, right? Does that freak you out?
Very.
Very much so. I remember when you were little... One day, I think you were, you know, reacting to JR, and Dad said something like, yeah, you're going to have to buck up because, you know, you're going to have to take care of this kid for the rest of your life. And I was like, oh, my God, don't tell that. Don't put that kind of pressure on a little kid. So that's just a memory that I have. But, you know, the reality is you will be responsible for him in some way, whether it's checking up on him, you know, maybe financially. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't tell you this now, but. You know, I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that. And it's definitely a stressor for you.
Oh, very much.
Very much. We need to get a really good job. This business plan that you and Dad have about winning the lottery through scratch-offs is...
Not very good.
Not really a great strategy. What do you want for your own future? Besides tacos.
I want a fun job.
A fun job?
Yeah.
Okay. You learned that from your dad a little bit? He has a good job, but it's not a fun job?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And what would that job look like, maybe?
I don't know. Being like a farmer or something? I don't know.
You talk a lot. Are you watching too many FarmersOnly.com commercials?
They just started popping up again.
You've mentioned farmer more than a couple of times.
Yeah.
Recently, but that actually is a great degree in agricultural sciences. It's a lot of things you can do with that.
Yeah.
But farmer, I don't really see. You don't really like to sweat.
I've been working out for the past 8 days now. I don't want to hear.
Okay. Okay. So maybe we can send you off to a farm for camp and see how that goes.
That'd be cool.
Cool. Okay, so farming, you've mentioned that a couple times. That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I think UF has a good agricultural program. But, okay, cool. So what else besides, like, a career? Family goals? What do you think? I know you're only 12 going on 13, but
yeah,
these are you want to get married?
I don't want to answer those questions.
Okay.
I may have a big vocabulary, but I don't, like, think about those things.
Okay, thank God. Okay, I'm sorry. I overstepped my bounds. Okay, perfect.
Wait till it stopped so then you would pause it, and then I would fart so it wouldn't pop up.
Okay, so first of all, listeners, I was able to press stop just in time for Jackson to express how he really felt about that question with his bodily functions. So, anyway, let's continue. I wanted to share something with you, Jackson. Yesterday, I listened to a brand new webinar through the Elves for Autism Foundation.
Yes.
It's called Sam's Sibs Stick Together.
Who's Sam?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Sam is Samantha Els.
Oh.
Who's that?
Ernie Els's wife.
Wrong. Her name is Liesl, and you know that. Samantha is
his daughter.
Yes.
His grandma.
Okay, stop. Samantha is Ben's older sister.
Oh.
Right? So she acted as the ambassador to this program. And by the way, she's studying human bio at Stanford. So let's step it up. I'm kidding.
I use the word like alternative and I'm only 12.
Anyway, so this meetup is really a partnership between the Els for Autism Foundation and the Autism Science Foundation. And the goal of that series is to present issues about, you know, regarding siblings and, you know, present research and things like that. And siblings can't attend, so I wasn't sure if you would dig it, so I attended, you know, myself last night, and I learned so much. I was really, truly glued. There aren't a lot of studies being done using kids your age, and maybe that's because many of the studies are simply trying to focus on younger developmental years, and if that development is normal, if it's not, what does that mean about autism? Is it genetic? What are the chances that a sibling could develop autism? What signs are there? You know, how early, that kind of stuff. And that is why I have a point, I promise. You were studied. Did you know this? You were a crash test dummy?
I was?
You were. That's awesome. So I have hours and hours of film of it too. But
that's awesome.
From about 6 months to 3 years, you were a part of University of Miami's.
That is so cool.
I've never seen you smile so hard. It's UM, probably UM CARD, the Center for Autism and Related Disabilities. But it was called UM SIB SMILE. It was a sibling study because at the time, 13 years ago, it was believed that a sibling of someone who has autism has a chance, well, there still is a chance, of developing autism. So they really studied you because they thought there's a chance this baby can develop autism. And if that's the case, if that has to happen, we're going to study that child and see, you know, what behaviors he or she is or is not exhibiting, you know, from a young age. It was pretty cool.
So did they have like, wait, how did this work? You have to explain this to me.
Okay. So basically, the study really wanted to see if you were developing emotionally and brain development. And I remember, and I have it all on DVD. I remember you sitting in a high chair, and they were really just trying to say, "Oh, they put electrodes on your head." I just remember that.
I think I remember that now. I'm not even joking. I'm not even like
you were like 6 months old. There's no way you remember that.
But I think I remember. You're going through some stupid slideshow that was like when I was like 3 years old.
What?
And then I was like in a high chair.
You didn't have electrodes on your head, I promise. I wasn't.
But not that, but like I remember I was in a really high chair with people I had never seen before.
And that's called your first birthday party. Anyway, so you were studied many, many times. We drove all the way to the University of Miami and they studied you playing. And if you had like reciprocal language and stuff like that, and it was super cool. So the good news about getting to be a part of this webinar is I learned a lot of things about you.
Me?
Yes.
Was Samantha specifically talking about me?
She was. She mentioned you. She wanted to ask you out too. She's a catch, by the way. She's super pretty. Okay, so here's some things I learned from a study, and I can't. You have to pardon me. I cannot pronounce the study, the researchers' names. They're Greek and they're involved. I will put this information in our show notes. And it was a 2020 study. Positive aspects of someone who is a sibling. Oh, a TD. Sorry. You have a greater sense of acceptance and commitment. You value differences. Does this stuff sound like you?
Sort of.
You remember fun times. I'm going to get back to that in a second.
I do.
You do?
And I also remember terrible times as well.
Equally or less?
probably worse times more.
Awesome. Okay. Here you go. Breaking the mold. You have a great sense of perspective. You have more empathy.
What does that mean?
Empathy is like...
Doesn't that mean like drive?
No. If you're empathetic, it means you understand other people's situations. Like if you're sympathetic, you feel sorry for someone. If you're empathetic, excuse me, I just burped. So I could edit it and blame it on you. If you're empathetic, you can see things from, you know, other people's perspective and feel for them.
I can't do that.
And parents report kids like you are more mature.
Oh, well, they're wrong.
Finally, there was another study that I thought was super cool that looked at photos that siblings had taken of their families. And this was a study from Shivers in 2018 recently. And if you look at the chart, it shows that the nature of those photos were of the sibling engaging in lunch or bath or sleep routines with other family members, things like birthday parties and siblings shared time and school life, but less of like sensory behaviors. So really your photos and memories, according to the study, were less about the bad times. And I hope that's the case for you. Would you like to say anything to that?
Oh, I zoned out. What did you say?
What was the question?
Yeah, what was the question?
Do you feel like the bad times overshadow the...
Yes.
You too?
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. Does that ever make you feel sad or depressed?
Makes me sad.
Makes you sad. Sad for him or sad for your own childhood?
Both.
Both. Yeah, that's completely understandable. I get it.
Yeah.
So you were also part of a meetup yesterday, and it's sort of it's from the same vein, the same foundation, which is ELLS for Autism, and it was called SIBS Stick Together Virtual Hangout. Tell me your honest impression.
Can I be like, will she be listening to this, the lady?
The person who put it together?
Yeah.
She might. She would want your honest opinion.
Well, I think it was a little, I wouldn't say childish, but it was okay. Just like, I was kind of like, it wasn't that I was zoning out, it was just that I think I can't really relate to much that they were talking about, so it's okay. Not like I'm, like, it's not like I could talk and, like, feel better about myself or anything.
Okay.
Out of that, I would just be talking about nonsense.
Well, Miss Kimberly, who invited you, she mentioned that it was okay to kind of, you know...
Zone out.
Well, yeah, like, you can, you know, mute your microphone and black your screen just so you can listen in and take in, you know, what you wanted and, you know, get out of it what you wanted to get out of it. I think some of the kids were a little bit younger, so maybe, and they had been already participating for a while, so you're kind of like the new guy. But I applaud you for hanging as long as you did, right? And it's a start. Do you feel like you need to talk about, you know, yourself or problems you might feel because of JR? Do you ever feel like you need to talk to someone?
No.
No? Okay. Or me?
No.
Okay. All right. As much as you didn't have a total blast in that meetup yesterday, I did notice that you filled out a little... you filled out this cute little survey about yourself. Can you read some of the things off of there? Speak up.
Okay. I help others by being cooperative.
Yeah, you're very cooperative.
And I'm proud of myself for working out more.
During quarantine. Yeah, that's something to be proud of.
And I'm thankful for my family.
Aww.
And what I like about me is how I'm very determined.
You are determined.
And I'm good at baseball.
You're amazing at baseball. See, you got something out of it. You learned something about yourself. Okay. I'm so grateful to have talked to you today. I love you so much. I know this isn't easy. But like I said, I never want to speak for you. And hopefully some of the things you said will help another sibling, even if it's just saying, yeah, there's a kid that just, you know, isn't having a blast at this either. A lot of the media portrays siblings as, oh, I'm so protective of my brother, and I'll do anything for my brother, and I'll beat someone up for my brother, and I'll hold his hand all day long. And I don't think that's necessarily reality. I don't. I feel like you are robbed a little bit as a kid. A little bit of your childhood is taken away because of the things that limit us with JR. Does that sound about right? You're shaking your head a lot, but that won't be on camera. Yeah. I mean, on the podcast. Camera, yes. But,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Any last words now instead of behind my back?
I was the one who was farting last night. It wasn't Dory.
That pertains to the podcast, not that.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know.
There's not very much.
Unless it pertains to Xbox, you don't really want to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
I've taken up way too much of your time, haven't I?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you had my controller for like 8 days now.
Shh. I'm an amazing parent.
Amazing.
Okay. For more information about the webinar series or the Sibling Support Hangout, please check out our show notes. These programs are both offered through the Els for Autism Foundation, so you definitely can get details at their website, which is elsforautism.com. The webinar will occur the second Tuesday of each month, and they are taking topics from viewers. Pretty cool.
That's all for today's episode. Thanks.
What is it? The smell is so bad in here.
Yes.
Okay. Do you want me to stop or do you want to keep reading?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow my mom and Brenda on all social media platforms and Disorderly Blondes. Born during this pandemic, then voicemail them via the Anchor app or write a review on Apple Podcasts. They'd love to hear from you. No, they wouldn't. Don't listen to that.
They'd love a review from you, right?
That was scripted.
It was totally scripted. Thank you, Jackson. I love you.
Love you too.
Say bye to your
fans. Bye.